from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
That's your farm system update. All right, let's bring in Tim Kawakami joining us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? Now, sometimes I'm a little jealous of TK.
Huh?
Because, I mean, he's getting all these great guests on his podcast.
Great TK guests,
podcast.
Getting everyone.
It's getting everybody. Then when I see him at the arena, he like just commands. He has a presence. Tim Kawakami has a presence, man. I don't know why. Hey, TK, what's up, man? What's going on this morning?
Yeah, don't sell yourself short. You got me on as a guest. That's pretty good.
Which is hard. Takes us every 6 months to get you on this show, man. All right, there's a lot going on in the Bay. And I'm sure you're going down to hear Shanahan talk today later on in practice. We'll see if Brendan Ayuk is still on the team. But let's start with Lowry Marketing. We got the breaking news that the Jazz and Lowry Marketing is going to sign an extension either tomorrow or in the future, which makes him ineligible to be traded this season. Now, apparently the Warriors' final offer was Moses Moody, multiple first-round picks, pick swaps, a second-round pick. They did not want to include Brandon Podziemski. However, TK, I don't even know if that would have got it done. Just TK, Pods and Moses Moody and all these picks. Felt like they would have wanted Moody, Pods, and either or Wiggins or Jonathan Kuminga. What'd you make of this Lowry Marketing situation?
Yeah, I think there was a way they could have done it by putting Podziemski in. There wasn't just about Podziemski, but I think they could have. I think they did not go all in on this. I'm a little surprised. As we wrote about it, earlier this week, I thought maybe when it really came down to it, I just don't know that there's another, top line player who they can get. They always think they're involved, and you never know. Somebody could come available in February because it is going to move to February now, but it won't be Lowry Marketing now. We know he'll be ineligible to be traded. I thought they'd push harder, but I can also say they thought their slam dunk was Markkanen plus Kuminga plus Podziemski going into the future, and they did not want to jeopardize that and give their picks by putting in a prize player like Podziemski. And let's just be honest, like maybe they could put Podziemski into another trade. Again, I just don't see that player. They're usually pretty good about having a player out there. Like, this is a guy we're chasing. Obviously Kevin Durant, and there's been all these other names. Some they've gotten, some they haven't. Markkanen, you look at the free agent list for next year, you've been Markkanen off it. It's not very good.
Yeah.
So, I thought they might push it all in. I, for some reason, whatever, maybe they figure, listen, if we have to pay Lowry Markkanen $48 million a year, which is what it would take if the assignment extension, it just isn't worth all this. Again, I don't know the exact reasoning there. I don't think it was impossible. I'll put it that way. I don't think it was impossible for them to make it. Listen, Utah engaged them, right? There were conversations. These are things that happen. All understood. Like, these are value judgments you have to make. I just don't know that there's going to be a better fit. I don't know. I think Markkanen was a better fit than Paul George. And we know that they came really close to Paul George. Not a better player, but he's 7 years younger. He plays that stretch five. I think Paul George is a tremendous player, but is he going to be? What's he going to be worth in 3 years, guys?
Yeah,
and you're paying him $55 million.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I was never high on the Paul George situation. I didn't. I'm glad he didn't go that route. Go ahead, Shasta.
No, I think most Warrior fans have this setting, Tim. It's like whatever Steph wants, right? Like that's what most Warrior fans feel. So I guess the question is like they were down for Paul George because it felt like Steph and Dre wanted that. How do you think this lands on Steph's doorstep, hearing that they weren't kind of all in on getting marketing?
I think he can be, you know, look at it pretty rationally and say, you know, maybe you shouldn't give up the whole thing. Like, that's the part that I think the overreaction is, oh, my God, Steph's going to be pissed. Oh, my, like, he understands it if you explain it to him. And this is not an unaggressive front office, right? I mean, he said it. Like, he knows they're looking at stuff. They looked at LeBron James last February. Now, that only works so far, right? If you're not a good team, he's not going to like it, and he said so. We know this. They are under some amount of urgency to make sure they're pretty good, to be in with a shot at being very good. Again, I don't know who that other, you know, we imagine they need one more player here. I don't know who that player is and what might be available in February. Or are they going to just say, you know what, let's be okay this year and let's go attack it again in July? Guess what? Lauri Markkanen could be traded in July. I don't know. You know, I'm just saying they're pretty aggressive. I just would hesitate from saying, oh, my God, this is the thing that's going to drive Steph crazy. How crazy is it or not? Let's see where they are. January, February, they're probably going to be okay. Not great, okay. And what? When? I avoid this. This is the thing that drives Steph crazy. This is the thing that Steph's going to. No, it's going to be the accumulation of things plus and minus. And he understands that if you explain it to him, this is what we're trying to do. And maybe we shouldn't have traded everything for Lauri Markkanen. He might disagree, but he's not going to say, okay, that's it. I'm gone. Get Charlotte on the phone. He's not doing that. He is pretty well committed to the Warriors, at least for another year or so. And he's not James Harden. He's not that guy. He's not like, I'm going to, you know, do this passive-aggressive stuff on you or even aggressive-aggressive. He's like, okay, bring me into the conversation. What are our options? Where are we? Let's go hard, 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 hard for the best players. And, you know, he doesn't think they're going to go 100% on that. They better have a track on somebody. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I just don't know who that is. And then we shall see. You know, Jared Allen just signs a new extension with Cleveland that allows him to be traded, you know, at the trade deadline. Again, I don't know. I've heard that name of him in the past. I don't know if that's for sure somebody they would want now. But, like, you got to start thinking about that. And then, you know, how hard can they push? What have they got? They kept Kuminga, they kept Pajemski, they had their picks. You know, we'll hear about them again in February, I guarantee you. I just don't know the names.
Tim Kawakami here on Omori Ross on 95.7 Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. So before we pivot to the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk, real quickly, TK, how good is this team as is on paper to go to State Warriors going into the next season? Is this a playoff team? Is it a play-in team? Is it not a play-in team? Is this a team that's going to finish in 11th or lower? Well, how do you see this team right now on paper?
Yeah, I don't think they're 11th or lower. I mean, they won 48 last year. Well, I'm sorry, 46, whatever it was, in a really crappy year. And we know the West was powerful. That's what, you know, got them to play in. Normally, that gets you in. I think they're slightly better. You know, maybe not a lot. If Draymond doesn't get suspended for, what was it, 16 games, they probably win a couple more. Does that mean they're winning 48? And I think they're 6-7, and that's not great, right? And, and then you're one step, you know, knee tweak away from being 11, no question. And he was mostly healthy last year. So you always have to factor in those things. I think they're better than they were, you know, they're more versatile than they were last year, less explosive without Clay in there. But I'm a big D'Anthony Melton guy. I think he's a big ad. We'll see about the others. But I think they're slightly better. Again, it's all relative to the West, I know. And you got Houston coming up. You've got Memphis coming back. Yeah. You got San Antonio coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's get this.
They're in trouble, but I think they're okay. I think they're like the 7th seed.
49ers. I know you're going down there to hear from Shanahan and whatnot. What to make of this IU situation? How did we get to this point, TK?
Yeah. I think the more, and listen, IU's number could be crazy. And I'm more to the point, I think it's probably shifting. Like, they're like, wait a minute, it was 28, now it's 30, or whatever. But that's negotiation. I think the 49ers have misplayed this. There is a 49er need, and we're seeing it every year to try to win every negotiation. This is what they do. And I think it's helped them try to keep some of this salary cap under control. We know how many big contracts they have, but it's under control. I think it's kind of, it's, you know, building up with some kind of amount of unhappiness with their star players. We've heard about it kind of under the radar. I think it's just playing out with IU. They're trying to beat IU in this. I think that Bosa negotiation last year might be affecting this. They got beat by Bosa. The 49ers do not, Farag Morate and Jay York do not normally get beat like they got beat by Nick Bosa. And Ayuk is not Nick Bosa. I understand that. But I think that there's just some recriminations from that. And they want to beat Brandon Ayuk. And they're determined not to let get this to September. Like they let the Bosa thing go. And they're trying to push the issue. And they might win. And hey, there's a possibility that they win as they get Ayuk to come in at their number or relative their number. Or they make a successful trade. I think any trade they make now, if they make it for Ayuk, will be an unsuccessful trade. I think it's a give-up trade. You don't see good teams doing this. Like, what good teams trade a good player in August? That doesn't happen. You trade them at the draft. So you get the pick, you draft the player, you have the player. There, if they make a trade, you know, I mean, Kendrick Bourne, I like him on all, but please, I mean,
I know.
You know, and a second round pick, like that's how you're going to go to the Super Bowl. They've got the money. They do have the money. And I understand, you know, they got the Purdy money coming down the back end, but it's not salary cap money. That's just guaranteed money. This is guaranteed money that Jed York probably does not want to pay. You know what? Okay, that's his decision. I get it. But then you're judged by the roster you end up with. If they end up without Brandon Ayuk, it's been a miscalculation. They've just miscalculated and misplayed this to get it in this position. This is not what good teams do. Look at the Detroit Lions. They've re-signed everybody.
Yep.
They've figured out a way. That's a team that the 49ers are likely going to run into in the NFC Championship game or whatever round.
Can I stop you there? Can I stop you there? I agree with a lot of what you're saying. The difference between Detroit, the Niners have been good for like six straight years, and they have a very expensive top-loaded roster, whereas Detroit, this is their first cycle of paying a lot of these guys. You know what I'm saying? So I just think they're at a different life cycle than where the Niners are. Now, you said maybe Jed doesn't want to pay the money. They have paid, and I'll give them credit to this, pretty much every single guy, top-of-the-market money, every single turn. But why the hard stance on Ayuk then? Like, I know they think he's really good. Is it like a number thing? Was it the way he's gone about the business? Is it because of the residual of what happened with Bosa last year? Is it all of these things? Because, like, that's a fascinating aspect I hadn't considered.
Yeah, I think it's the totality of the guaranteed money that Jed York is looking at with the Purdy deal coming. And I'll argue with you on the Lions. They got a quarterback they're paying a lot of money to. The 49ers are not paying Brock Purdy. And let's just say this. When they pay him next year, that will not really accelerate on the cap in 2 or 3 years. You look at these quarterback contracts, they don't hit the cap hard until year 3, year 4. So if I get it, there's X amount of guaranteed dollars that Jed York's going to want to commit. I'm not going to reach into his pocket and say, you got to do it. But when you don't do it and you do have cap space, they've got $34 million in cap space, guys, right now. This incredibly expensive roster, it's to the credit of the negotiations that they've kept these dollars as low as possible. They're very good at it. But there is a breaking point when you try to pull this on every single player, and then Nick Foles beat you. And then the next player says, well, why can't I beat you? Why can't I take this in September and beat you? So it's just like they've got a way they do it. Agents hate it, guys. Agents, yep. They hated it 4 years ago. Now you do it, you negotiate it. 49ers have paid the money. They're at the top of the market, all these guys. But you ask George Kittle and Fred Warner how fun that was, that negotiation was. Trent Williams is going through it right now. It's not easy to negotiate with the 49ers. It just isn't. Again, I don't criticize them for it, except if it leads to a problem with a receiver. And maybe Brandon Ayuk is asking for money that is just not feasible to pay him, but other teams probably are willing to pay it. And at some point, it costs money to try to win a Super Bowl. And if they don't have them, are they really trying to win a Super Bowl this year? Is that everything is all in?
Yeah, I think it's bad business.
We all agree on that. But I would also, if I'm the owner, I'm like, hey, I've given you $477 million in the last 4 years in guaranteed money across all these guys in escrow accounts, and you guys haven't cashed in the Super Bowl. So I get both sides of it.
Oh, man.
The other part of this is...
Jed, you're co-hosting the show here?
Yeah, I'm not. Look around the league.
There are a lot of teams that shed salaries year after year after year. They just gave $120 million to Bosa. And, like, I'm with you. The Bosa thing, I think, is resonating in this deal. But here's the thing, Tim. He's not the only guy with his hand out. They still got to pay Trent. Diamond Lenore's down the pipeline. Charvarius wants more money. What are you going to do with Greenlaw? Hufanga? Like, they've got Aaron Banks. There are a lot of guys outside of Brandon Ayuk. So is it good as a team building strategy to invest in two wide receivers making $60 million for this particular season when you do have other needs on this roster down the line?
They won't be investing in two receivers $60 million because Ayuk's number will not be that high when Debo's number is on it, and they will probably not have Debo Samuel next year. You just got to understand this money doesn't all stay on the cap. It's moved around. So I agree with you. Like, if Debo was at 26, 27, 28, and you are into him, then it's going to be really hard. But guess what? They held the line on Debo Samuel. You know why? Because they're tough negotiators. I credit them for this. There is room to do this. There is absolutely room to do this. They've already cut Eric Armstead. This is all part of what they're doing. And if they give Ayuk a ton of money, maybe it costs them George Kittle in a year. But again, this money does not hit immediately. It does not. Unless you forcibly do it, which they actually could because they got so much room right now. But usually the signing bonus is what you're paying the guy in the first 2 years. And the cap number is low. So... again, it's their style. I get it, but I'll just put it this: around the NFL, it's not OG that mean Brandon Ayuk. It is not. It is the 49ers are trying to win a negotiation again. Yeah. And full credit to them if they do win it. But if they don't win it and it's blows up in their face, they're not all in for the Super Bowl. They cannot say that they're all in. They are not all in for the Super Bowl.
That's bad business. I'm with you here in this sense, TK. Look, the cap, and Shask and I have talked about this for over a year now. Always believe, well, maybe you could stagger some money here, and a lot of guys will not be on the books once IU gets his money. So I'm glad you clarified that with everything happening here. It's funny to me, and maybe fans do this, and I get into it with fans all the time, that all of a sudden they're telling people to, you know, IU, hey, kick rocks here. You're replaceable. You're this, you're that. In your opinion, how good is Brandon Ayuk? Because I feel like in this market, he's been underrated. When you think about the opportunities he had to catch a football last year on this team, that's a run-first team that loves to get the 30 carries, to have the production he had with that limited amount of opportunities, wow, second team all-pro Brandon Ayuk. And what he does in the run game, and some people say, well, we don't play you to run block. Well, hell, they paid George Kittle pass block on third downs. That's a part of the equation. Play for Kyle Shanahan. When you talk to fans and you hear things around the league and other reporters, how valuable is Ayuk? How do people view Ayuk in this offense? Is he a top 10 receiver, top 5? How do you view him?
I look at him as a top 5 or 6, but that's also because he fits the system so well. So I get, you can say, okay, on the open market, not every team plays the system. you're not a top five or six. It's a negotiation. It's a debate. He's hitting the market now. If you hit the market now, you're going to get a lot of money, and the guys who are not hitting the market get it next time. I think he's top five or six. I think the things that he does are going to be almost impossible for them to replace. Just look at it that way. If they don't have Brandon Ayuk, guess what? They got to go find a Brandon Ayuk, and that's hard. And it's not Ricky Pearsall. It isn't this year. What would they pay to get a Brandon Ayuk on their roster? They'd give up a first, maybe a first and a second, right? If they had another Brandon Ayuk out there, that's what they would pay. That makes him very valuable. Is he a pound for pound a better player than A.J. Brown or Justin Jefferson or whoever? That's debatable. Probably not. But in this system where you got to block to earn your routes, you got to run the decoy routes as hard as you run the routes where you know you're getting the ball, I don't know exactly who's going to fit better than Brandon Ayuk. And that's how you have the real world, you have to value it. I do believe the 49ers are negotiating, saying, stat-wise, if you just raw numbers, you're not there. I get it. If you win it that way, you win the negotiation. But Brandon Ayuk and, you know, yards per reception, yards yeah. per route, all these things, you do that, the rate numbers, not the cumulative right. numbers, he's way up there. I don't think he's as good as Justin Jefferson. I get that he would make less than him. There are three or four others for sure. They're not all on the market right now. He is. Right. And the ones who are on the market, I think he's just as good as Amon-Ra St. Brown. He might be better. I think he's just as good as a lot of these other guys. So it's negotiation. He's the one who's up now. He's the one. Well, he's you know got the fifth-year option, but I still don't think he's going to play for that.
No doubt.
I think he's worth it. I think he's worth close to 30.
I'm kind of with you there, TK. So how does this end? When you go down to Santa Clara today, Shanahan speaks at the podium. Is he playing for the 49ers in 2024?
I don't know. That one is totally up. You start letting other teams talk to your player,
yeah.
which Mike Maiocco has reported, and I'm sure is true. It could be a big feint. It could be a bluff, right? You go ahead and find out, and then we'll come back, and you'll like it here. Like, once you let that happen, it's very, you know, it's very likely Tim, that he's going to like what he hears. And so it's 50-50 at best.
Tim, where's John Lynch in all this? Like, you always hear about him being kind of like the calming presence. You know, he seems to be very reasonable to me. Like, he's a guy that I think sees both sides, the player's point of view, understands the front offices. He's not going to get in the weeds on the contract and all that stuff. Is there any way they can put the genie back in the bottle with him somehow in the room? I'm just asking out loud because he seems to be a guy that kind of gets the big picture.
Yeah, I think theoretically, I mean, they might have some complications because, you know, he's really good friends or was really good friends with Ayuk's agent, right, Ryan Williams. So I'm not sure how deeply involved Lynch could have been on this. Maybe he was, maybe he is. I don't know. He'd have to have some part of this. Everything I hear from NFL people is the guy who negotiates these deals is Parag Marate. That's the guy. And Jed York is on top of that. And John comes in and does some other things. I think he was heavily involved with Bosa. But guess what? Bosa won that deal. You know, Parag Marate might not have loved that too much. Again, that's my speculation. But, I think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan make their views known. They are the number one people in football operations, but they don't control the purse strings. And I think it's Parag Marate doing this negotiation. Again, do you talk to any agent who deals with the 49ers? They talk about general conversations with John Lynch, and they talk about the negotiations with Parag Marate. So not trying to, like, underline anybody's fault here, but every agent I've talked to said the person that I'm negotiating with and who is a pain in the ass, but you respect it, but he is a pain in the ass, is Parag Marate.
Wow.
Whether John and Kyle, you know, at the end can come in, I don't know. I think they certainly did that with Bosa. But again, I don't think 49ers like that Bosa deal. I think they hate that Bosa deal. They realize they had to do it, but Bosa beat them, period. They just haven't had one like that where they've been beaten by somebody like they were beaten by Bosa. I don't think they want that to happen with Ayuk.
And Bosa did not have the year that we're accustomed to Bosa having last season, of course. He even said it was a down year here. So is Parag Marate or Jed York your next guest on the TK podcast?
Maybe not. I don't know. Listen to the show, they probably won't. But,
I don't think they listen to us, TK. I don't think they listen to us. They don't want to hear us loudmouths.
They're a little busy right now, though. So they're a little bit busy. That's all good. We'll see how today goes. Yesterday was very interesting. And I'm just very curious. You know, Kyle Shanahan can't, you know, he's speaking for the team, so he can only say so much. But I'd be interested to hear the shadings, you know, the between the lines. I don't know. This is a spot I did not think they would be in August. in early August, but it's hurrying up. Things are speeding up, and I'm going to be very interested in the tone that he takes in just a little bit.
All right, TK. Good stuff, man. Have fun down there in Santa Clara. Exciting times in the Bay Area. A lot of drama out here. Check out the TK podcast as well. Tim Kawakami here on the River Islands Guest Line. Thanks for the time today, TK.
You got it, guys.
All right, Tim Kawakami. Saying a lot there. It's 9:41. About 10 minutes left. Get your calls in. Stein Eagle is going to take a lot of calls. Willard Dibbs is going to take a lot of calls. A lot of clarity there about the cap, how he said that Brock Purdy's money, he's going to get the guarantees, but that base salary may not hit until 25, 26. So,
yes, but you also, okay.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.